Amen to that song. That's a good one. When I went to Mission Field, I took a hymn book with me. I memorized a number of songs, and I carried the hymn book wherever I went. Got moldy fast in the jungle. The binding came loose. It's a good thing I memorized some verses. That was one of my favorites, as well with my soul. Well, Happy New Year to all of you. May as well say it right away. And Badgers won last night. That helps us. I see we have a new chair. Looks like a chair from the judges' chambers. But never. Oh, it's not on? Oh. It was yellow. I'm not going to repeat all that stuff. I forgot it anyway. All right. Well, we're going to a new year. I was thinking about some of the things Phil Bloom said. And he read the scriptures and he talked about peace on earth, goodwill toward man, and he told us that goodwill toward man is kind of defined differently. All of the translations make it clearer, give a better understanding of that verse, because the world has misinterpreted it. They want to know, where's the peace that the angel promised? Where is it? Why don't we have this peace? And as we're going to New Year, I don't have to tell you that it's going to be really creepy. Right? We've just had a new tax law. Everybody's going ape about tax. So I'm going to lose this, I'm going to lose that, and the rich are going to... I don't know what's going to happen when I go into my CPA. But we're all worked up about it. There's a lot of problems in the world. America is going to move their embassy to Jerusalem, and the Mideast is ready to blow up. There's a number of things going on. The UN, United Nations, continually bugs us. They want the United States to submit to their ideas. There are Mideast conflicts. There's elections coming up. There's all kinds of things. And there's a lot of anxiety. I have no opinion, actually, honestly. It's all kinds of anxiety. I wait with the tax laws. I wait until my CPA tells me I owe $20,000 or else. Well, we'll just see what happens. But the point is, the world is anxious. And all over the world. So the idea is that as we go into this new year, maybe we should think a little bit about the peace that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about. I think we need to define it scripturally. I know you know that there's a difference between what the Old Testament might say and the New Testament. Isaiah 9:6 talks about, excuse me, Isaiah 9:6 talks about the Prince of Peace. Jesus is a Prince of Peace. The coming Messiah is a Prince of Peace. But where is this? So the world and we have ideas about how this peace should come, how this peace should be. So we talk about this peace on earth, but where is it? Well, it was spoken, first of all, to the shepherds when the angel mentioned it. And the shepherds would think about it in a particular way. They would think about the Old Testament. They would think about the verses. They would think about the coming Messiah. The government will be on his shoulders. And that's an interesting euphemism, because being on his shoulders, it certainly means that it's heavy weight to bear. All kinds of leadership is. And it will be on his shoulders. He will bear the burden of bringing this peace and conducting his peace and justice. So they would understand it. in the light of the Old Testament. They would know that God would bring peace to those who obeyed. Israel was told, if you will go into the land and you will obey what I said, you will have peace. Nations will not attack you. You will have crops. You will have everything. You'll be healthy. And you will have a peaceful time. So, this peace on earth, goodwill toward men, needs to be defined. We need to understand how it fits into history, and we need to understand the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. We must. Because many verses in the Old Testament are referring to the Messiah, the coming Messiah. And I believe that. I don't believe it's just spiritually fulfilled. Because let me tell you, if it's just spiritually fulfilled in your church, it's hopeless, my friends. That ain't going to be. Because the world and the church are corrupt in many ways. So what we have is a problem to understand what the Bible says. So we go back, fit it into the Word of God, and understand what it means and what it does not mean. It will help us. It will encourage us. It will comfort us as we go into the new year, because there's all kinds of stuff going on. I wonder sometimes if some TV comic wrote all of this. And this is a whole thing they're putting on. And it's just a joke. It is really interesting. Most common belief about the passage is that it can only come from freedom from war. Ask that average person in the street, what do you think this peace is? Well, we need to settle the conflicts among nations. We need to stop war. We need to stop being aggressive. We need to stop defending. Put away our arms. Put away our armies. Shake hands. Be at peace. Ain't going to be, and you know that too. Not going to be. The world continues to go on and on and on, and it's madness. So, the idea that the real meaning of peace is to put away all conflict among men. We can't even put away, listen, we can't even put away conflict. Come on, guys, make yourself at home. There you go. No problem. I don't care. Nice to have you up here. But behave yourself now. Okay. Where was I? Oh, yeah. But this peace and the idea that all we have to do is just decide to get along with one another. Even the church doesn't have peace. There are conflicts in the church. There are false teachers. There are false shepherds. There's immorality. There's church. Church is leaving what the Bible says about the Word of God. And even the church isn't a good example of it. There's all kinds of problems around. And even in church meetings sometimes, I've known of some, and I'm not speaking Wauwatosa, I'll pull this out from other places, where there have been conflicts and they've all shook hands and everything is all right because they're believers in Christ and they've gone out still angry at one another and still ready to wage war if the opportunity comes. So, it's interesting. We have to look at this peace. Now, in John 14:27, Jesus taught the disciples a real attention-getting verse. Something I think that startled them. We remember that this is before Jesus Christ would be arrested and go to the cross. And the disciples in this state are confused. What is he saying? What is he getting at? I'm going away, and where I go, you can't come. But it will come again someday. And I'm going to leave the Holy Spirit with you, and he will teach you, and he will guide you, and he will lead you into all things. Righteousness. So the Lord in 14:27 says this, peace I leave with you, My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You know, we have to ask, what kind of peace does the world try to give to us? Financial security? All right. It's trying. It wants to spread the wealth, trying to give us this. Improved health and health research, absolutely. Creates a lot of problems. Trial-free life, guarantee to every citizen a home and this and that. And I'm not knocking this. I'm just saying this is what the world says, the peace. And if we could just get along with other nations and we could meet these needs among people who have these needs, we'll be at peace. And it won't be. It just isn't going to be. So our Lord Jesus Christ said this, peace I live with you, but not as the world gives you. Now the next thing he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The world brings fear and trouble. And there's this going on. We need to meet needs of people. But we're not going to do away with all of them. That's just not the way humanity works. All right. He says, not as the world gives. This is a startling truth, as I said. And that comes from our Savior. Do not look for this peace in the world. Not that we should create problems. Do not look for it in the world. Do not look in its security. My bank account, my work, my pension, my all. It will come. It can come. But don't look for it there. The peace that we need to understand is peace that the Lord Jesus Christ gives. Now, we go to the epistles first before the Old Testament. The Apostle Paul writes, Philippians 4:7, says, a peace that passes all understanding. Now, this peace that passes all understanding is this. How can I be restful in this world where I am uncertain about things that may affect me? How in the world can I have peace? How can I have confidence? I mean, look at all the things that might get me this year. Look at all the things that might happen that are going to cost me. This peace is beyond understanding. A Christian who has peace enough to go about life and do it honoring the Lord has the kind of peace that the world doesn't understand. How can you take that so lightly, John? I don't know. These things come and go. How can you take it so lightly, so frivolously, so flippantly? I don't know. But the peace that we're talking about is not the peace of the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ made this really clear. So Paul says in Philippians 4:7, peace that passes all understanding. Now this peace isn't going to come naturally. Just not going to come. I think it'll be peaceful. This, of course, is connected with our relationship to Jesus Christ. First, do you know him as personal Savior? Have you ever gone and taken your sin and guilt to the Savior and said, I receive you. I know what you've done. And I trust you and I receive you for my life and for all eternity. That's peace first, of course. And then the peace of knowing that Jesus Christ is in heaven. He will come back. Yesterday morning at the funeral, I read from 1 Thessalonians, he died, he rose again, and he will come from heaven. And he will rule. So, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Have you trusted him? Say, well, I have a hard time trusting him. Look what's happened in my life. It's so messy. Look at my background. Look how I was born. How can I think that God loves me? I felt that way for years. Maybe others do too. Until I realized that Jesus Christ died to give me a relationship with himself for all eternity and in this world. The first joy that came to me after I received Christ as my Savior is that I am not alone. My life belongs to him. And he will take care of it. So, this peace that passes all understanding. And it comes, Romans 5:1, since you've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You've been justified by faith. You have peace with God. Think of those people who are reading that in Rome. And they're looking around at all of the idiocy of the Roman government. The stuff that is going on, the foolishness, the slavery, the sins. But he said, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we need first. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Stop debating if you don't know him. Stop going through all of the reasons why you think he failed. Why he doesn't love you. Why he hasn't guided you. You receive him as Christ, as your Savior today, now. And start understanding how the Holy Spirit works in your life to bring peace. That kind of peace that passes understanding. So, I said, where does this peace begin? Well, it begins with the peace of a conscience. Guilty conscience that's admitted into the heart. God's my Savior. He's not against me. He's for me. Wherever I came from, wherever I'm going, he's in my life. He will guide me and he will help me. One of my favorite movies is Miracle on 34th Street. Of course we like that, Chris. I saw that, by the way, when it first came out. I'm that old. And even as a kid, the message hit me very clearly. The message of Miracle on 34th Street is that we need to keep Christmas in our hearts all year long. That love, that peace, that caring, the giving gift. So I went out as a 10-year-old boy to do that. Took me about 5 minutes on the streetcar to realize I can't do that. And I saw the movie a lot of time before it went to television. It's a nice movie. That's the message. And while it's a good message, that sort of thing is not possible. We need Jesus Christ in our life, and he's the one that works love and care and understanding for other people. So, this peace begins in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Peter meets Cornelius in Acts 10:36, and he meets Cornelius, and he's told, go to the house and talk to him. And Peter argues, well, he's a Gentile. We have nothing to do with Gentiles. Go. And then he talks to Cornelius. Someone's going to come and see you. And he goes to see Cornelius. And in chapter 10:36 of Acts, this is what he says. Peter is talking, and he says, the message is preaching peace through Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. Preaching peace through Jesus Christ. Peace from a guilty conscience. Peace in a turbulent world. Peace when I think everything is going turning against me, the peace that he gives. And I like that, preaching peace. See, when we preach the cross, we're preaching peace. And this is so important to us. So, preaching peace by Christ, not just goodwill men with men, but God's goodwill, his kindness toward guilty people. So the first thing we have to do is we need very much to understand we need to know Christ as our Savior. But our Lord Jesus Christ said, in Matthew, I have a lot of verses here, that's why I'm not reading them. Matthew 10:34-36, he says, I've not come to bring peace but a sword. Coming to know Jesus Christ as the Savior and getting the peace from a guilty conscience does not mean we won't have problems in this world. It talks about parents and children and siblings and all of the things that come as a result of our receiving Christ. Many of you have faced it. Many of you have. If you're born in a Christian family and was raised, I did. I became a Christian and I was just naive enough to think they're all going to be happy that this dimwit wants to make his life better. Well, I found they weren't. You left the church. You left the church. You're the first one in the family who left the church. Well, it's a... See, and I'm telling them the gospel. See, but don't you understand what it can do? And you're denying how you were raised. You don't think we raised you well. That's not what I'm saying. And all of a sudden I realize, whoa, they backed me in the corner. And then they got together and talked. I didn't know this till later, of course. They got together and talked. They call me Jack. You can call me Jack if you want. My old friends still do. Anyway, and they said, what's Jack up to? Well, what he's really doing is he's rebelling against the way he was raised. And so he's doing this to show you when he get back at you. When my sister told me that, I said, ah. And it brought a sword into my family. Even to the time when my mom and dad and stepfather died, it brought a sword. I tried so hard to get close to my real father, just like so many children do who are alienated. The last words he said to me before he died, and I am serious, is, you are an SOB for becoming a minister. The last word my father said. Wow. See. But I didn't turn my back. The Lord Jesus Christ gave me peace. And I began to realize how significant it was. All right, so one of the things is this peace he's bringing is not with a conquering sword. Different kind, and this is something that is important to us. People in the world want us to do this. They want us to stop fighting, dismantle military bases, get rid of the budget, put it elsewhere, release the troops, and that way we're going to have peace. We want peace that way, unfortunately. I would like it. So the peace in the New Testament is interesting, and it has so many verses. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Being justified by faith, we have peace. Peace that passes all understanding. Now, that's the New Testament. All right. New Testament points that out. I'd like to suggest this. It's important in this new year and every new year that we understand who we belong to, Jesus Christ. We understand that he's in control of our life even when we don't realize it. He hasn't abandoned us. We know that he's received us, and during this year, if we're going to have the kind of peace we need when so many things might go wrong, it's going to be in the Savior, and you'll need to continue to grow in Christ. Take the challenge. Look at these things in the world. Think of the verses. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Okay, Lord, How do you want me to have it? What do you want to give me? And I think that's really important. Grow this year. Stay in the Word. Keep thinking. My relationship to Jesus Christ, my relationship. Keep your head right and your heart right. Now, in the Old Testament, we talked about Isaiah 9:6. And this verse is really interesting. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders. And I'm sorry. And government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When he rules here during the prophetic time, the Messiah, there will be this peace. He is going to bear the government on his shoulders. He's going to be Wonderful Counselor. One word together. Wonderful Counselor. You read his word, you can trust him. There'll be a time when he will reign and rule. Besides Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. During that time, by the way, men and women will not be sinless. That means just means that our Savior, after he judges and he rules, there's going to be justice. There's going to be the reign of the Savior meeting needs. But it isn't eternal life. After this period of time, and I firmly believe, Scripture said that after this period of time, it says, Satan will be loosed. All right? And he will go out and deceive the nations, and you scratch your head. How can that be? The Savior has ruled, and there's been justice and righteousness. There's been all fairness, wise counsel. Well, that's because sinful human beings either need to focus on Jesus Christ as the Savior, or they focus on the world. And when Satan is loosed, and goes out to deceive the nation, many will follow him. We say if we could just have this kind of peace and righteousness, everything would be fine. Now, why would these people rebel? Why would they follow Satan? Why would they go out and do evil after all of this time? The human heart needs to trust and believe what God is doing in his Son. So, that's one of the things. And if you read Isaiah, chapter 8 before, and some of the chapters, it talks about this reign. And since I take a lot of that literally, it's not the church. The church's peace is something else. And God will prove through prophecy the sinfulness and the disobedience of humanity. Why humanity could never bring this peace by itself. Because in spite of all that he would do, the world, many will follow Satan. All right. So, we've been justified by peace through our Lord Jesus Christ, and he is the one who meets our needs. More about the New Testament. Besides preaching peace by Jesus Christ, at peace, of course, with God through his death on the cross. And we need to cherish it as believers. When I get rattled, believe me, I get rattled easy. I really do. I'm surprised that I ever went to a foreign country and tried the things I did. See, I really am. But when I get rattled, this is what I have to do. Not focus on, maybe I should vote for another party, this, I don't know. Focus on my relationship to Jesus Christ. So, should be cherished by us. And the Lord talked to us and says, you are salt of the world. When you're out in this world and everybody's fretting, we need to show our confidence and peace what the gospel does for us. Because in this life, we need this desperately. All right. So, peace with God also, when you read the epistles, is interesting. Many epistles say this: peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ is a very common salutation, isn't it? Peace. And so Paul was trying not to give these people a false idea, but he wanted them to understand. So peace that Christ brought is spiritual, peace of heart, peace of disposition, peace of life, and in the Old Testament, we will have the peace of the Messiah. Whatever happens this year, my dear friends, as believers, grow and look at these things and think about these things in the New Testament. When I was in Columbia, I was a gringo, of course. That wasn't really a great thing. And I need to learn a new culture. I need to learn a new language. When I went among Indians way down in the jungles, many of the Colombians were escaped criminals. A lot of them. The government didn't want to send soldiers down and let them live. As long as they stay on there. There were guys all over the place who were wanted. And I got down to some of these jungle places, and they all had guns here. And I've never shot a gun. I don't like them, but I'm not against them. I just don't like them. And I remember really feeling creepy. One day I'm sitting somewhere, it's really hot in the afternoon, and a Land Rover pulls up, and a guy gets out in a cowboy hat and a Roy Rogers pistol on this leg, and bullets around. He comes up and he says to me, all he says is this: are you the evangelical? Yeah, I am. He got in his Land Rover and drove away. Nothing else. And I thought, oh boy, are you the evangelical? Yeah. Si, senor. Boy. Somebody sitting on the bench with me said, don't worry about him. What? Why? He's a local priest. And he's just trying to scare you. Don't worry about him. Okay, I won't. And there was never any problems. Now, I went up to the city. He must have reported something in the city. Because I went to the city, and I had to go to the Department of Indian Affairs for some information. And the guy behind the desk looked at me and said, are you down with the Guajibos? You know you're not supposed to be down there because it's Catholic territory. You know you're not supposed to be down there. So, okay. He said, you can go. As far as I'm concerned, you can go. Just keep doing your work and don't do anything else. That's all I want to do. See? But when that guy got out of the Land Rover, and he walked right up to me, pointed at me, asked me that question, and got away. See? Well, I wanted some care food packages from the Indians. I remember care food is supposed to be for people in another country. It has not only food, it has tools and it has useful things. And we wanted some care packages for this village so they could build some things and build sanitation and other issues. But I found out that it was all under his control. The Roy Rogers guy. It's all under his control. Whoa. And the guy up in the office up in Bogota said, well, he's been designated the one who handles it. I can't do anything about it. I wrote my congressman. I actually wrote, oh, it's Zablocki. I don't know if you knew Congressman Zablocki. He was really the best kind. And I wrote Congressman Zablocki, and he wrote me back, and he said, when the care packages leave the shores of the United States, we have absolutely no jurisdiction over them at all, according to the UN. The only way you can get things is buy it from the UN and pay for shipping. Well, I couldn't do that. During that time, I began to see more and more how the Lord was faithful to meet my need to bring peace. I've been ranting this morning because this is on my mind, and I'd like to encourage you as the year goes on, no matter what comes, even if you're, I don't know, have job insecurity, and it's hard. Get into the Word of God and understand what the Word of God says. And also keep in mind there's a difference between the peace of the Messiah and the peace we have in Jesus Christ, our Savior. It's nice to walk through this life and know that I belong to God, I'm His child. And that peace comes through the redemptive work of Christ on the cross. Well, Happy New Year. Behave yourself tonight. Okay. Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask you to guide us. The world brings a sword. The world brings anxiety. The world brings pain. The world brings, Father, hope, a false hope. Strengthen our Christian lives this year. A new strength, a new insight, a new understanding that while we do feel anxiety and we do feel fear, we can have peace with you through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we've been justified, and we thank you that our sins are gone and that we belong to you, and that even though we will die in the flesh, we will be raised again. And we thank you for that. When we think of the marvelous work Jesus Christ has done, make us lights in this world. Help us to be people, in spite of all of the things we might feel, to be people who can go on and show our strength and confidence in you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.